When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Full of frustration, full of despair, from years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation, two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware, and they found Major League Soccer. This is the MLS UK show.
And just like that, we are back once again. Season 2, episode 23 of the MLS UK show. My name's Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
Here's what's coming up for you. We may have just dropped a podcast yesterday, but it's time we previewed the playoffs with a special guest this time.
Yes, it's a man who's played in MLS. He's played in an MLS Cup final. He presents for MLS, and he also hosts The Movement.
Kalen Carr is our special guest on this bonus episode, the second leg, if you will, of MLS UK show's preview of the playoffs. Here's what happened.
Welcome to the MLS UK show. I'm delighted to say, joining us now on the show, we've got a guy who's had over 100 appearances in MLS, a goal scorer in the 2012 MLS Cup final. He's host on Extra Time Radio. He's on The Movement as well. Joining us from New York is Kalen Carr.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey Kalen, it's awesome to speak to you. Thanks very much for giving up your time so close to the playoffs. I imagine you're a busy man today and all of this weekend.
Yeah, well, today is just some preparation, but I mean, it's a lot easier being on this side of things. There's a little less stress, a little less drama, and a lot less pressure than being on the playing side. So I'm enjoying kind of being able to sit back and watch the matches, and we've got some good ones this weekend.
Definitely. I think it's fair to say as well, before we get into this, despite watching MLS for a little while, I think I went to my first game when I was on holiday in Orlando in 2016. Since we really began to take it seriously and cover the entire league on this podcast, you, Kalen, have been an inspiration, especially with The Movement. You've educated us on The Movement, definitely.
Oh, wow. That's awesome to hear. I mean, part of the cool part has been getting to go around to these different places. And for me, even, I guess, learning about MLS, the culture around it, because as a player, you really only get a sense of you go to one Marriott to another and you eat the same chicken and rice dish at every hotel lobby. And you don't get a chance to really go out and experience the culture just because you're so focused on the match. So now when I go to a match, I really wanted to kind of delve a little bit deeper and explore places that I'd been before, hadn't been, but didn't quite maybe get a good feel of or didn't understand maybe some of the deeper things that are happening around the city. So it's been cool, but it's awesome to hear, especially that it's growing abroad and that people like shows like this exist in the UK and just people all over the world are starting to pay more attention to MLS.
Yeah, well, of course, not to put any pressure on you, Caelan. We're going to talk about when you came over to the UK in just a moment. But what's been your favourite episode, and where's been your favourite place to go explore on the movement?
Wow. The one that's popping up right now is we went to Jackson, Mississippi. We went there with Marlon Hairston and Justin Mapp. And we kind of looked at, you know, we know that MLS exists in all these places that you would expect, but last year we decided to go to some places you wouldn't expect. Jackson is definitely one of them, traditionally an American football town. So to see a group of players, it was Justin Mapp first, then Marlon Hairston, Omar Epps. A lot of players now are starting to come from Jackson to come through the youth ranks and then finding their way to MLS. So I really like going to the places that you wouldn't expect. We all know Southern California has great soccer, has great football. Same with Texas, Florida, a lot of the bigger states, New York, New Jersey. But trying to get off into some of the nooks and crannies of North America and beyond to see how the sport is growing there.
I think that's definitely kind of something that I agree with. And that's what I mean by an education. Like, I've been to California and I've been to Florida, and I think it's really nice to see the places we don't get to watch, maybe, that don't have an MLS team, that maybe don't get so much coverage.
Yeah, no, I mean, because for MLS to really matter, it needs to matter in places beyond just Portland and Seattle and the places you already think of it. It has to be appealing to somebody in Yarm, in the UK, which I did go visit for the movement, which was also really cool. It has to exist in... Yeah, Jackson, there was people, we went to Costa Rica, we went to a little small beach bar in Costa Rica, and people wanted to watch Kendall Waston play, who was from that small town. So I think more and more trying to expand the reach of MLS and figuring out maybe why people are interested. I was so fascinated, especially coming to the UK, why, after watching the entire weekend of Premier League or Championship matches, why on a Sunday night would you want to go to a pub and meet me and watch like an MLS? I think we saw Seattle play Dallas. It was amazing to me, but we had a really good turnout. It was probably about 10, 15 people who came to the pub to hang out, have a pint, watch a match. And I think people have different reasons, from saying, hey, like, my team is never going to win a title. We're in the sixth tier of English football, and Seattle might be my best chance. I went on a trip there, kind of like you said, how you went to Orlando, and kind of just getting a different chance, or maybe saying the idea of a TIFO in Houston. All these different ideas are of a fandom now, and it's so much easier to get exposed to different parts of the game.
You've hit the nail on the head there, Caelan. I'm a Norwich City fan myself. Henry's a Bolton Wanderers fan. At the time where I first went to my first MLS game, Norwich City were an absolute joke, and unfortunately Orlando have kind of gone down that same route since I adopted them, but
we're not going to blame you for that.
but you're exactly right what you say. You've been to Orlando, you've seen the smoke, you've seen the march to the game, you've seen the atmosphere despite the terrible results, and I think everybody in the UK has got a space in their heart for an MLS team, and that's why we've been amazed at the growth in this podcast and at MLS over in the UK, because it's just growing and growing and growing. You mentioned you spent some time over here. What were your impressions, first of all, of... Did you get a sense of how big MLS was over here?
Well, I will say that I did get some pushback, and the episode does begin with I was outside of a Stoke City match, and they were about to play against Man City. And I went up to these little kids, and I don't know if they weren't in the academy. They were just little kids coming to the match, and I'm like, hey, are Americans any good at football? And they're like, no way. And I think it's like kind of, I think some of it is real, where there is that perception for sure. And I did meet some people who sort of spoke that way. But I also feel like in some ways it's sort of something you just can't admit. I think there has been a fair amount of Americans that have come over and earned their way and earned their respect, whether it's the goalkeepers like Tim Howard or Brad Friedel, Casey Keller, some of these, Brad Guzan, who have come to the Premiership and done well, or players on the pitch, whether it's a guy I used to play with, Brian McBride, or Clint Dempsey, or Jeff Cameron, or the likes. So I think there has been some respect earned there. And then I think in some ways, maybe American soccer or those who are interested is a little bit of a guilty pleasure of something a little bit different. The style is different. The style of play is different. It's a little more even more expressive, or some, especially now with the way MLS is going, with a lot of the Latin players that are coming over. And I would even add some of the players that have come abroad from MLS as of late. I feel like Miguel Almiron, I do Sky Sports news hits, and they ask me all the time about Miguel Almiron. And it's kind of funny because a year or two ago, I would always try and insert him into the conversation when it was mostly just at questions about Rooney or Zlatan. Mm. and then all of a sudden, I think people saw, oh, wait a minute, this is a place where young players from Latin America can come to MLS and then maybe kick on and find their way to some of the bigger leagues over in Europe. So there's a lot of different paths to earning respect. And then in some ways, I think it's just a matter of feeling a little bit, I think the league is becoming more self-confident now, where it's saying, okay, well, if you have, maybe you're a purist and you don't, the TIFOs or the Celebration Orlando kind of throw you off, or it's not for you, that's okay. But I think for the people that are really starting to open their minds to something different, I'm definitely seeing that growth.
Yeah, I mean, when I went over recently to Orlando, even though I'm an Atlanta fan, obviously I had to keep my mouth shut about that. But I went over to Orlando, and yeah, the next episode I came back and I said, if anyone in the UK, if you get the chance to go to the States or Canada, get it to an MLS game. It's a different way of doing things. And did you find that? Whereas I know you say at the end of the movement episode, you say, oh, I know you've got 100 years of history, but why not start from scratch? Is that what you found? Is that, yeah, we've got our things we do in the UK and we've done them for 100 years, but in MLS, you're doing things from the start and you've got this blank canvas?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge and an opportunity. I mean, the challenge part, I think, to me is obvious, where just now, this is the first generation where some of my friends, I'm in my mid-30s, are have young kids, and they played in MLS. And, you know, if their kids were too young to see them play or otherwise, now they're taking them to matches. And I think this idea of, like, family bonding over generations through a soccer club, it's really interesting and something that I think will eventually grow in MLS, where, you know, somebody will grow up like a fan of the club, where I didn't really have MLS. It didn't even exist until I was in high school. So I didn't dream of playing in MLS. It just sort of appeared in front of me, luckily, just in time. But I think the opportunity is that you're unburdened by some of that history. You can do things differently. You can decide. You can create your own rituals. I think, you know, Atlanta United is a perfect example of that, where they've got hip-hop in their chants because that's very Atlanta. They've got a supporters group called Footy Mob, which is a playoff of the Goody Mob rap group. They've got the Golden Spike, looking at the heritage of the city and the transportation center. And so, and then they've kind of got more of like a college football, the Gulch with the pregame kind of party. So it's just, in some places, that would feel like you couldn't do that. And so the idea that they could make it their own, they don't have to necessarily replicate something that's existed before, to me, it is really cool. So that's something that I think is definitely a positive for MLS. And it's cool to see all these new teams popping up. And even in the lower leagues now, there's the team where I'm from, Oakland Roots, is a brand new club that's doing some really interesting stuff in the community and kind of doing it their own way too. So even the lower leagues are not just MLS, are starting to kind of embrace the sport and do things their own way.
Now, just before we talk about the playoffs coming up, you said that you always tried to get Almiron into your Sky Sports News sort of bulletins. Are there any players in MLS at the moment now who you've earmarked thinking they could go over to the Premier League or Europe?
Well, I have been looking around. I mean, the Paxton Pomykal is a player that I really like. He just re-signed a new deal with DC United. I was just in Dallas last week doing a profile. But often it's the players even a couple steps below that you don't even know yet. Alphonso Davies, to me, came out of relatively nowhere, where he was a young talent player, and you hear maybe things of like, in a year or two, he could be really special. And then next thing you know, he's starring in MLS and getting a chance to go to Bayern Munich for a huge transfer fee. There was a kid I met in Dallas named Ricardo Pepe, who will be at the U-17 World Cup. Started playing for the Mexican national team, the U set up as a kid, now has chosen the U.S., so we'll be playing in Brazil with them. But I watched him play in the USL match in semifinal, scored 2 goals. So it's often a player that's just below the surface. I can't think of too many right now where I'm like, absolutely, this young player is a no-brainer who's going to be going. But it's if you're watching the U-17 World Cup or the academy system, that's kind of the hope for me, is that in a couple of years, some of those players are going to be the ones to really break through in MLS.
100%. You can imagine how many people contacted me to do a little piece on Almirón when he joined Newcastle. A lot of Newcastle fan groups, and I told them, I said, oh, he'll have an assist and he'll score within a couple of weeks. And I've been made to look very stupid, but I still believe that he's got it, and I believe he'll definitely be a success. Let's talk playoffs. The top 7 sides from each conference have a spot in the 2019 playoffs. Are they the 14 teams, Kaelin, that you expected if you were looking back in March? Who's surprised you a little bit?
I would say Minnesota United surprised me. I expected them to get into the playoffs, but I didn't expect them to get a top 4 seed in a home game. That was definitely a shock for me. And then New England, I think on the other side in the Eastern Conference, would definitely be the surprise for me.
Yeah.
Even if you would have told me halfway through the year, I would have been shocked. There's no way. So,
yeah, I noticed that Arena was not up for Coach of the Year, but I think he's definitely got a shout.
Yeah. Well, I saw some statistics saying that Bruce Arena has only missed the playoffs. He's only failed to make the playoffs one time in his 14 years coaching in MLS, and it was a year where he took over. The first year he took over the Galaxy, which I believe was he joined in August. So not much he could have done there. And then ever since then, we saw what he created with that dynasty. There are just some coaches that know how to win, and know how to win at specifically at this time of year. And Bruce Arena is definitely in that category. You do see in England where maybe a manager who's not going to be the guy for the full season comes in at the end when you're fighting to stay up, or you're challenging for promotion or whatever it might be. And so I think there Bruce Arena would be a perfect guy for that. I think he'll also be great to go the distance with this club and really put them back on track, which I think he's already, you know, clearly starting to do. But just winning matches in this time of year is so difficult. And in the back half of the year when things get tight. So he understands how to win those matches.
So, yeah, you're exactly right there. And it's interesting for us who are in our second season doing this, third season watching it religiously, how we notice that there are teams that it's. We joked at the start of the season saying, well, part one of the season until the summer, we might as well not pay attention because part two is going to be completely different. And the lower league's going to change. You mentioned, obviously, that Galaxy side. Of course, you yourself played in the MLS Cup Final 2012 against Galaxy. You scored, but ended up losing. LAFC have been the stars of this season. I don't think anyone can doubt that. Have they been the best side we've ever seen in MLS, or is that side that you played against, Beckham, Keane, Donovan in it? How do this side rate against the other sides?
Yeah, this one's a hard one for me because everybody, the inclination is just to say that this team is the best team we've ever seen. And in a lot of ways, they are. I mean, if you look at all of the statistics, if you look at all of the numbers and even the style of play, they are. I still have trouble, and maybe this is just by virtue of proximity of just being closer to it. I think some of those Galaxy teams, especially when you look at what they were able to do over time, over years, winning multiple titles, that those teams to me are ranked highly. And then also seeing some of those DC United teams early as well. So, but I think, you know, it's not to take away at all from what LAFC are doing. They have been fantastic. I've never seen a player doing the things that Carlos Vela has done this year in Major League Soccer at all. I just think his in some ways, like, not playing for the Mexican national team, I think, has really kind of taken a weight off of his shoulders, where he was fantastic last year, went to the national team, went to the World Cup. It's kind of hard to leave, build up to a huge moment like that, and then come back. He didn't have the same strength or I guess, commitment in the second half of the season, and they fell off pretty quickly. So what he's done this year has been amazing to watch, and has clearly made them the clear favorite. I mean, they're 16 points clear of the next team in the Western Conference. This league is designed so that doesn't happen. Like, it's supposed to be a place where you cannot get that huge of a lead, because there's just such tight margins between these teams. That's what makes it exciting. So to see a 16-point gap between one and two speaks to the job that Bob Radley and LAFC have done.
You mentioned that Carlos didn't play for the Mexican national team. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because especially looking at this weekend, you've got Atlanta taking on New England Revolution. They're going to be without Robinson at centre-back, as we know. But then Flo Pogba's not an option to come in, because he's just played two full 90-minute games and flown back from Alicante in Spain. Like, he's not going to be good to go. And at this point of the season, it's crucial that players are kind of with their clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's. I know Atlanta United was frustrated about the way the Robinson deal was handled. They thought he shouldn't be playing, and so that is always going to be an issue with clubs and international teams. I think the one positive is that at least this happens. I don't know. There's really no positive on the player getting hurt, but that we tried to change the system so this didn't happen during the playoffs. So there used to be an international break in the past many years in the middle of the playoffs. So I'd play in Houston, then Brad Davis or Boniac Garcia, and these guys would leave to their national teams, and you'd just hope that they wouldn't get injured, and then they'd come back. And even just the travel and all that is tough on guys. So the idea was to get this international break, come back, and then play the whole playoffs. But now we're seeing a couple guys getting injured or dealing with the mileage of going through that. So LAFC doesn't have a lot of internationals, which is pretty unique for a team that is that far ahead, and really unique when you think of your star player electing to not play for their national team. So with that, and then also another week of rest, it gives them a huge advantage.
Definitely. Before we let you go, Kalen, we've seen your bracket. You filled out your MLS playoffs bracket.
Oh, it's, God. I want to change that already. Well, I'm going to change it after this weekend.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to change mine as well. You've gone for LAFC overall. Now, does it take a brave man to state otherwise? Surely they have to be the favourites. But we've seen them randomly get beaten in a one-off game by Colorado during the season. Anything could happen.
Yeah, no, I have picked them to win. I've noticed over the last several years that MLS is getting more to a place where you can clearly pick a winner. I think before, and maybe my Houston Dynamo teams benefited from this, it was a lot easier to just sort of join into the madness, play playoff soccer, and understand how to win these tight games. I think that's going to become more difficult, especially with the home field advantage throughout the playoffs and then the one-off home matches for the higher seeds. So I think we looked 2 years ago. I remember thinking Toronto FC before the playoffs that I'd be shocked if they didn't make the final. I said the same thing about Atlanta United, and LAFC feels that way to me. The one difference to me is that the style of play, and we hit on this a little bit, but Atlanta United changed their style of play last year. They went more defensive in the playoffs. If you watch their match against New York City at Yankee Stadium, they basically just kicked New York City off the pitch. There was nothing pretty expansive football about it. And then they used Almiron and they used Joseph Martinez on the break, their pace and talent to be able to create an opportunity and set pieces. That's the formula that I know from playoffs and what works, even for a team with the talent of Atlanta United. So the idea that LAFC is going to play this beautiful, expansive football and spread the field and use these patterns of play, that might go out the wayside when either Minnesota United or LA Galaxy come in and just try and kick you. So I think that is the one question for me is will they change? Will they be a little bit more pragmatic, even in moments? It may not need to be the whole game, but can they, in the tough moments when they're under pressure, play a little bit more, I don't know, just roll up your sleeves and grit it out a little bit, because there's going to be points where they're going to have to do that. But now that I'm saying that, they'll probably run away and win 3-0 and play beautiful football. So, but that's going to be the challenge. That's definitely going to be what I'll be looking to see from them.
And Caelan, just before you go, looking across the city, of course, Zlatan's made, Zlatan's just doing Zlatan at the moment, especially in the press. Is he the man who could push LA Galaxy through the MLS Cup final playoffs?
Well, that's the fun part about it, is it could go that way, or it could all just crumble down in some huge disaster. And so it's like, you don't really know what to expect from this Galaxy team. And in the big matches, they tend to turn up, especially against LAFC. And then against Houston or Vancouver, they just completely lay an egg. So I don't really know what to expect from this team. I think they'll get up for it. And if they win this first match, which I've actually picked Minnesota United to win, if the Galaxy can get by that one, I think against LAFC, I give them a real chance. And I think there's some sort of psychological barrier that LAFC have yet to be able to break against the Galaxy. So it's not unthinkable that we can see Zlatan and the Galaxy go far, but I could also see them losing 3-0 in the first match. It's just... that's the way the season has gone for this team.
Yeah, it's funny because Elliot, with you, has gone for Minnesota to win. I've gone for LA Galaxy, but I love the drama, and I would love to see an LAFC LA Galaxy match in the playoffs. So,
that would be amazing.
Now, just finally, Caelan, we really appreciate how much time you've given us, but I need to ask about Chicago Fire. Of course, one of your former clubs. Next season, they're going to be back at Soldier Field. Are you excited to see how they do next season and how they progress?
I am. I really am. I think this is a really good fresh start for the club, and a much needed one, because it just seemed to be for the longest time that it's just been kind of slipping away there. And I was a part of the club in the first year. We went to Bridgeview. We had enormous crowds, really great excitement. We went to back-to-back Eastern Conference Championships, or Championship Finals. We didn't win them. But we had a real energy about us. We had Cuauhtemoc Blanco, the Mexican legend, on our team. So we had a huge fan base. But over time, one coach leaves, another one comes, a lot of changes. The results aren't there. The fans start to waver a little bit, except for Section 8, the real supporters group behind the goal. So it just hasn't been a really compelling product on the pitch. And I think they would have to admit that as well. So and then the one sort of insight anecdotally was just whenever I would ask people to come to my games, or if they'd come to a game, so many people would say, oh, I used to come as a kid when I was at Soldier Field, when the games were at Soldier Field. Where's your new stadium at? And even then you start to say like, oh, well, the city, it's more like Wrigley Field. People want to have a beer. They want to go to the game. That's like the downtown scene in Chicago, especially for sports. The Bulls, the White Sox, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, all the teams that are right down there. So I think for Chicago to go back to Soldier Field gives them a real opportunity to kind of capture some of that energy of the downtown scene again.
Fingers crossed that they can make the playoffs next year. Caelan, it's been a massive year for growth here in the UK for MLS. It's been great to see you on Sky Sports most weeks, and it's definitely been great to see to have you here on the MLS UK show. So thank you very, very much for your time.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK show.
So there we have it. Actual legend, such a nice guy, has given us so much of his time on, let's be honest, the Friday before the MLS Cup playoffs start, literally tomorrow. I know he's got a very busy day. So, so good to chat to Caelan Carr.
And if you haven't watched The Movement, which is on the MLS YouTube channel, check it out. There's four seasons of it. Caelan presents it, and he goes, as he said before, he goes to the UK, but he also goes to Jacksonville. He's been to Orlando. Mm. He's checked out like DC. And if you want to learn more about like the fan sort of experience in MLS, check them out because they're great. If you enjoyed this episode, you can listen to our other interviews as well. We've had Mo Adams of Atlanta United on. We've had Greg Ranjit Singh of Orlando City, Adam Grinwis of Orlando City, Dane St. Clair of Minnesota United.
Tom Barlow from New York Red Bulls.
Exactly, yes. So check them out. And also, if you are enjoying what we're doing here on the MLS UK show, you can do us a favour. You can give us a rating. But, Elliot, what's the rules?
It has to be 5 stars. Come on, guys.
Yeah, because anything less, that will actually hurt us. So,
yeah, make sure you subscribe so that you get the podcast as soon as they drop. Enjoy the playoffs. Thank you once again to Kaelin Carr, and we'll catch you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.